This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Noah Adams.
And I'm Linda Wertheimer. You're listening to what American Christian churches are calling new music. It's light, it has a kind of soft rock beat, it's often accompanied by electronic instruments, and right now it's very popular in church. Let the glory of the Lord rise among us. Let the glory of the Lord rise among us. Let the praises of the King rise among us. Let it rise. Fans of this phenomenon believe it's similar to waves of new music that have washed over the church during other times of change. In the early 18th century, there was the Great Awakening, when the rollicking hymns of Charles Wesley accompanied a shift toward a more emotional and evangelical Protestant church.
With every revival comes an outpouring of songs that the church begins to sing, and what we're experiencing now, I don't think, is any different than that.
This time, the wake-up call is coming from the radio and CDs, and from people like singer-songwriter Don Moen. He is a vice president of Integrity Music in Mobile, Alabama, the largest Christian recording label in the country. He says praise and worship music is the fastest growing segment of his industry because people want change.
There is a hunger in people's hearts to have more than what they've experienced at church in the last 20 or 30 years. They're looking for something more intimate, something more real. And there's been a tremendous vacuum of songs that the church can sing, and that hunger, it spawned a lot of new songs that people can sing and can be honest and pour their heart out to God.
Don Moen likes the term vertical music. That's also the name of one of his record labels. It means a personal musical conversation with God. It means music that is modern, simple, and easy to sing. Music that resembles the music that is part of everyday life. Heaven and earth will fade, but his word will still remain, and he will do something new today. These are tunes that might be heard on the radio, heard in the elevator, except this music is sweetly contemporary, reverent but relevant. What the Christian community is hearing in concerts and is finding in the CD racks at Kmart and Walmart. Now, mainline Protestant churches are opening their doors to this music.
Every denomination is experiencing this. Some have attempted to do a contemporary service. These are the people that sing the new songs. And then, you know, at the 11 o'clock service, the people that like the more traditional service come. And so this is one of the biggest issues that denominations will face. We want to see Jesus with his eyes together. We want to see
Jesus lifted high. This is the 9:45 Contemporary Service at Third Presbyterian Church in Richmond, Virginia. 500 people gathered on a Sunday morning. Third Presbyterian sits on a little rise surrounded by large trees and unobtrusive parking lots. It's a sedate-looking, steepled church balanced by its Sunday school wing and the fellowship hall. But inside that hall is a big stage, a sound system, and some state-of-the-art electronic instruments to punch up the beat for morning worship. Strongholds come, tumbling down and down and down and down. Third Presbyterian takes a cafeteria approach to the musical divisions among its parishioners, at first offering two services, a decision reached after much deliberation. Paul and Anna Joseph devise and lead the musical parts of the contemporary service with a shifting cast of church members playing and singing in their band. Sitting at the piano in the tall white sanctuary on a weekday morning, we talked with Paul and Anna about how they organize a contemporary service.
We start very celebratory. Okay, this song, up-tempo song, followed by this up-tempo song. And it's not unusual, instead of having a 3 or 4 minute hymn, to have like a 15 or even 20 minute full set of music that just flows from one piece to the other and gradually takes the listener, the worshiper, you know, where we need them to go. A song, Open the Eyes of My Heart, for example, is just directed towards God saying, I want to hear you, I want to see you, you know, prepare me for what you have for me to hear today.
So Anna, Paul, could you sing a little bit of that for us to show us what you mean?
Mm-hmm.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power above as we sing, holy, holy, holy.
Why do you think that music works better for some people?
Well, I grew up listening to Top 40 radio. It was energetic, it was something you could move to. So that the upbeat music speaks to me because it has energy, it has life.
I would also add to that just the sense of relevance, that this is my music. This is what we listen to in our free time. And coming into church and enjoying that same style of music speaks relevance to me, that God cares about who I am, where I am, what my world is like.
You still sing hymns in this service, right?
Right. We don't change them lyrically, and we don't change them musically as far as the melody that people are used to singing. In a traditional setting, it would be...
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness.
That, you know, is very structured. We would probably do it along the lines of...
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness.
See, it's just a different accompaniment.
But you sing it in a way that is much tenderer somehow.
Yes, I think that's true. In every song that we do, I think it's important to express and model that intimacy that we want the congregation to experience. So it's very different from standing with the hymnal and just belting out the song.
One thing about popular music that is inescapably true is that it's very self-referential. You broke my heart, I'm alone. Is that a problem?
It is a constant concern in front of me when I'm choosing songs and putting a worship service together, that they're not too focused on who I am or what I'm dealing with, but on God and who He is, and secondly is how it relates to me.
Do you think this lasts? There are all kinds of hymns in the traditional hymnal that are 200, 300 years old. Does this last?
I think there are hymns of the future being written and sung right now. If a song speaks to someone and just really registers and resonates in their heart, it's going to stick around, and people years from now we'll still be receiving the same things from the song.
One. Pa 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 pa. Soprano.
Our first visit to Third Presbyterian in Richmond was on a Thursday night for choir practice. Music director John White was leading the singers through a rehearsal of Messiah, part of the church's Christmas celebration.
Wonderful.
Singing in this choir were people from traditional and contemporary services, and this kind of crossover is not uncommon, but most members seem to have an opinion about the musical divergence in their church. We talked about it with some choir members in the church parlor after practice. Susan Holt works in adult literacy programs.
There was a little fear that we would be divided. Music is such a central element to our worship. If one group chose one over the other, how were we to be one body? And I think we've come a long way in making people feel better about that.
Jimmy and Kathy Ames stayed with the traditional service at Third Presbyterian. He's a computer sciences professor. Kathy says she's a mom.
It was and has been difficult for us because of the fact that we have friends who went to a different service. Parts of our family went to a different service. Our teenager decided to go to a different service from what we did, so we have ended up not worshiping together. That probably has been the hardest part for me.
In the contemporary service, the focus is more on the praise music, and as a result, they have to condense certain other parts, and it loses some of the liturgy. And to be able to say the creeds of the church and things like that is very important to me.
The hymns in our hymn book are so rich. They hold poetry for me. They're like Shakespeare is to literature.
Church organist Mark Kuntz works at the Federal Reserve Bank in Richmond. He feels comfortable moving between the two services and the two kinds of music, as long as it's good music.
God probably listens to a lot of varieties of music, and probably he's not that picky about the style. He's really interested in the heart and truth of worship.
Adding contemporary music has been good for Third Presbyterian. Attendance is up. The traditional service has attracted new members. People not entirely comfortable with liturgy have joined for the contemporary service. And it's possible the Third Presbyterian will move on from here. They've begun a third service for still younger people who think the soft rock contemporary Christian sound is so last decade. Brock Gustafson is a recent college graduate in telecommunications.
I think it's modern for the baby boomer generation. As far as modern for the Generation Xers, if you will, I'd say it's stuck still in the middle 90s.
But you wouldn't, or maybe you would, envision a service in which there was sampling or the kind of electronic DJ music that...
Absolutely.
You would?
Oh, electronic beats, techno beats. I think that could be very well done. And it could mean a lot to my generation especially.
Thank the Lord for what he's done in us. Thank the Lord for his love.
The record company executive we talked to earlier, Don Moen, told us his teenage son does tell him his new music is not nearly new enough. This is something young Mr. Moen does like. Perhaps Lincoln Brewster's version of Christian worship music will be coming soon to a church near you. You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.